Elliot Friedman joins me from 32 Thoughts, the podcast and the blog in Hockey Night in Canada. Friege, we are 1 month away officially now. Well, actually, yeah. 1 month and 3 hours away from NHL trade deadline as we set up the week here on this February the 21st. How frisky are you
for the
right now?
Trade desk?
The trade desk. Here we go. Let's break them all as we get them, or as we like to say about you, when news breaks, you fix it.
Or ruin it further.
Well, yeah, that could be. That's going to be my job at the desk, is to take it off the road. What teams, what players, like who holds your curiosity the most now that we're officially one month away?
Well, there's no question it's Giroux, and I think that, you know, I really think you hit on something last week. I really don't like to give you credit in any way, shape, or form.
Speak louder, please.
Yeah, but I think you really did hit on something about the 1,000th game in Philadelphia. Now, I don't think that, and just so everyone knows, that if everything goes as scheduled, and knock on wood, let's hope it does, he would play his 1,000th game as a Flyer on March 17th against Nashville, 4 days before the trade deadline. And, you know, I was asking some people about that. We talked about the emotion of the Giroux media conference last week, and I was told that's very real, that that's something that is a goal of his. Now, if it comes up to a situation where everybody gets a deal that they all like, Giroux likes it, the Flyers like it, the other team likes it, I don't necessarily think we're going to be in a situation where everybody says, let's hold off until the 17th. But I do think that date, I think the Flyers know how meaningful it is to Giroux, and I think Giroux has indicated how meaningful that could be. So, excuse me, I think that's a non-COVID cough, everybody. I think that date does loom large over the pro. But to me, he's the most fascinating guy because I think he's, you know, he's the biggest name available that we know of.
Well, but the thing is, too, like, he controls his destiny here with the no trade. And if he doesn't want to move, you know, until after the 17th, does he not control that? Like, I understand the realities of, hey, Colorado has presented this package here and, you know, it's going to expire in 48 hours if you don't agree to it. But he kind of controls things here with his no trade, doesn't he?
He sure does. But, you know, I asked someone specifically yesterday, is everybody here under the impression that he's just going to block everything until after the 17th? And I was told, don't go that far. Like, that's just ridiculous. So don't say that. But I think it is something everybody is aware of here. And by the way, the more I hear, the more I wonder, like, don't downplay Florida and all this.
For Giroux?
Yeah.
I look at the Florida Panthers lineup, and I, you know, outside of Mason McTavish and that spot, and that third line has been outstanding. I don't know where he goes. I'm at a loss to figure that one out.
He goes nowhere until they try to figure this out after the season.
So speaking of trades, your thoughts on the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Arizona Coyotes, and how much does this deal address not one but two issues for the Maple Leafs, namely shoring up their blue line for now and two, freeing up cap space for specifically Jack Campbell in the offseason?
Well, I think there's also a third issue. You take a player who's really unhappy and you get them out of the organization. I mean, all you had to do is just watch that brief media availability last week with Nick Ritchie. And, you know, you could see that this had to go away. Like, the, you know, he wasn't happy. They weren't happy. I think they understood why he wasn't happy. But I think you don't want that. You don't want that negativity around. And, you know, they obviously got that done. And as you said, they clear up some cap room for next year. It's going to give them some added flexibility to do some things. And, you know, in Lyubushkin, they get a player who kind of helps them. I think he does help them. He's a right-hand shot. Those are always at a premium. And he's, you know, got a bit of an edge, and they could use somebody who's got a bit of an edge. So, you know, I think that, you know, last week when I reported that, you know, that Richie, that there was some traction on moving Richie, like, it was kind of interesting. Like, I had people say to me that there's no way this is going to happen. and you know, unless you're getting like a first round pick, or you're giving up a first round pick or a high pick, and there was, you know, and Toronto was saying they didn't want to reach any more than $300,000 because that was bigger than his buyout. And, you know, it's just a reminder that there's always a situation out there that can work. And, you know, Arizona's situation is A, they like the player, and B, they need players under contract for next season. I think that's six now that they have under contract for next year. And Toronto got a player that was very useful to them out of it. So we'll see. I'm really interested in watching him, Jeff, because quietly I've heard for a few years now that he's not a bad player. He's not fast. Okay. Like, you know, that's one thing that you have to be very careful with him. You can put him into places where he could get in trouble if he's just completely overwhelmed with speed. But I've had people tell me that he's a really solid NHL defenseman, and they think that it's always funny with me when a guy comes up to Canada, because either we all sit here and say, boy, there's a lot better to his game than we thought, or we just pick them apart. And so I know I'm being told it's going to be A, that there's going to be a lot more to his game than we thought.
Do you think Dubas is done?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I still think he could potentially tamper with his blue line some more. And I still think he's looking at some forwards. I just don't know how big it's going to go for him. You know, he doesn't want to give up the first rounder. He's made it very clear their top prospects, you know, Nyes, the kid overseas in Finland, Robertson, and you know, he's not doing that for rentals. And you know, I think also the other kid, Abraziz, who just played for the in the Olympics, I think he's probably now getting into that territory too. Like, he's not doing that for rentals.
The Maple Leafs face off against the Montreal Canadiens tonight. Quick note on the Montreal Canadiens. Just me, or does Jeff Petrie look like a completely different player? We always look at the coaching change and what it means for a squad. Now the Habs have won two games in a row. We talked about Caulfield before. Jeff Petrie looks like a much different player here. You know, as we set up this week, and now I mentioned off the top, exactly one month away from trade deadline. You're Kent Hughes. What are you thinking about all of this? The coaching change, the improved play, the decisions you have to make. What's going through Kent Hughes' head right now?
I don't know. Do you think that two wins really changes anything for them?
No, I don't. But what I do think is it makes it easier to trade Jeff Petrie if his play is improved.
Well, the thing is, that is true. Like, and we talked about this on the podcast today, that Jeff Petrie had a reason to really get his head going in the right place. You know, I understand that you're not in a great place mentally, and it's been a hard year and everything that's going on there. But if you want to get traded, you have to show well. And I have no doubt that somebody informed him of that, whether it was the team or his representatives. Somebody told him. And, you know, I just think that it might be a deal that's hard to do right now, Jeff. I think it will happen, whether it's now or the playoffs. It might be a deal or the postseason, excuse me. I think it's a hard deal to do now just because it's 3 years at $625 million, and the Canadians don't really want to retain. So you might need that extra offseason cap cushion to get things done. But, you know, I think it's going to happen at some point. I think Montreal's going to have a lot of people out there, and everybody knows that Montreal has a lot of people out there. The interesting one is going to be one of our hometown hockey feature guys from tonight. There's a Josh Anderson piece airing, I believe, and I think he's going to be an interesting one. I'm very curious to see how the Canadians feel about him and what his role is in their future.
As in trade deadline curious or off-season curious?
Both. I think there's interest in him, and I get kind of mixed reactions on what Montreal's thinking there. Does he stay or no?
Well, we knew these conversations were going to happen with some of the older players, guys into their late 20s and early 30s, whether it's Gallagher, whether it's Anderson, whether it's, you know, Hoffman, these types of players. The Ben Chiarot story is well told by this time. The one that I'd always wondered about was Josh Anderson, because you look at the skill set, you look at the size, you know, it's a lot of terms still on this contract at $5.5 million, but it's not as if he's not an undesirable quantity.
People have always liked him. People have always liked him, and I think they always will. He's big. His numbers aren't always there, but he's big and he's strong and he's fast. And health is always a question, but he's got those things that everybody likes.
In the era where you can't hook and hold and interfere and hold up a winger, a big guy like with that size that goes to the net like Josh Anderson does, that is a valuable commodity around the NHL. Calgary Flames and Winnipeg Jets, we'll see them in a couple of hours here as we have afternoon hockey. Colorado plays Boston, Philadelphia. So, yeah, I know, right? It's across Canada, it's mainly Family Day and President's Day stateside. So we get some afternoon action, and that's great. Winnipeg Jets and Calgary Flames. Listen, Calgary is just flat out the hottest team in the NHL right now. Even if they tried, they probably couldn't lose. This is a team that's hit its stride, and we've seen them do this before this season. Do you have a thought on both these two, the Winnipeg Jets and the red-hot Calgary Flames, who we just saw on Hockey Night on Saturday?
I can't figure out the Jets. I cannot figure them out.
Are they your Dallas? Because Dallas is my I-can't-figure-them-out team. Is Winnipeg your Dallas for me?
Well, especially last night, like that lost to Arizona. That was,
I don't get it.
Yeah, in a game they absolutely had to have. That was – yeah, Dallas is – I guess – maybe there's something just weird about the central time zone. All the teams in there are weird, except for Minnesota. I don't get Winnipeg. I don't know what to make of it. I think they should be better than the sum of their parts. Really hard season for them. Really hard time. Really weird losses. Like they had that big win over Minnesota last Wednesday night where they really showed up to play. And, you know, like the thing of the game on Saturday, you know, here's the thing, like Koskinen gets back in and they get five shots on him in the first period. You know, like I'm sitting there saying, you got to jump on that guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's been struggling. He hasn't played in a bit, you know, yet, almost 2 weeks, you're just coming off that big win off Minnesota. You really need the game. Get on them. Get going. And I don't know. Like there's no question they have to be having some pretty hard conversations in Winnipeg. Just about, you know, where are we going here? You know, did we miss our window with this group? You know, if so, what does that mean? Do we still believe in our core? You know, I think this has been a really hard year on Hellebuck mentally. You know, what does that mean for the future? Is that just like, okay, now we're, you know, Hellebuck was a guy who made it very clear that it was a real mental health challenge for him, everything in the past year, which I think is very legitimate. Mm-hmm. You know, does that mean that, you know, now that we're kind of coming out of it a bit, knock on wood, that he's in a better place? You know, all of these things, I think, are real honest questions. And I think Winnipeg could be one of the most fascinating teams in the off season. I mean, Calgary, they're just like, the thing I liked about them on Saturday night was they didn't pound the crap out of Seattle, but they stayed with it. Like right now, they are a trust the process team. Everything is going so well. They believe what they're doing. They believe they're going to find a way. They stayed with it. And on Saturday night against Seattle, they found a way. And they even found a way to make their old captain mad at them at the end of the game on a night where he was getting honored.
Yeah, what did you make of that, the celebration, the salute to Mark Giordano?
Well, that was really well done. It was what you expected. But that, to me, that's a good team, what happened with Calgary on Saturday night. They weren't scoring five or six goals. They weren't beating somebody 10-0, but they were in a game and they stuck with it and they found a way to win it. Like, that's a good team to me. That's a team that really believes in itself right now.
So back to Winnipeg quickly. The one player that I wonder about, and we've talked about this guy before, and ultimately, you know, I still think that ultimately this guy ends up on the Detroit Red Wings. Andrew Kopp is on the expiring deal.
Yeah.
We've talked about him. We talked about him before. You know, last year, and I don't know whether it was an ask or an offer, but his name was, you know, all around the proposed Alexiak deal, the Dallas-Winnipeg deal. You have a thought on Andrew Kopp through all of this? Because you talk about, you know, having hard decisions. Like, if they're at the point where they're deciding whether we're in or out, the big decision here, as I see it, is what do we do with Andrew Kopp, who's on the expiring deal?
Well, look, I think Winnipeg did the right thing this year. They said we're all in. We're trying to win, and we're keeping Andrew Kopp as our own rental. We'll take our chances. And hit the bingo spot. I can only judge others as I would judge myself, and that's what I would have done if I was Andrew Kopp. If I was Winnipeg and I was running their team, that's what I would have done. And Andrew Kopp now is to me a rental piece. And I'm sure the Jets are getting offers, and I don't expect that. And, you know, the only thing I can really think of is there any particular way, shape, or form that Winnipeg is thinking, you know what, we're changing our core and we're moving people out, and now Andrew Kopp is a big part of our core. And if that's the case, then you try to re-sign him. If not, I think he's a very big rental.
You see, there's at the beginning of the week, I always try to look at, okay, who's got the most games, who can make up ground, who's going to stand by and watch teams buzz past them, and
we're evening out now.
Well, we are starting to even out here, and there are a number of teams that have, like, the majority of teams in the NHL play three times this week, but there are a handful that play four games. Columbus, Colorado, Nashville, the Islanders, San Jose, Seattle, Toronto, all play four games, and so do the Winnipeg Jets. And the Winnipeg Jets will kick it off today as they face off against the Flames at Scotiabank Saddledome. They're on the road Wednesday against the Dallas Stars. They're on the road Friday against the Colorado Avalanche. And then they're on the road Sunday against the Arizona Coyotes. I always hate that. Is this the most crucial week for the Winnipeg Jets? Is this make or break week for the Winnipeg Jets? But I look at these four games this week and say to myself, could this be it? Could this week tell them all they need to know about their team? Like I mentioned, Dallas is a enigmatic squad. They're going head to head on Wednesday. Calgary, toughest out in the NHL right now. The other tough out is the Colorado Avalanche. They have both of them this week. Then they have Arizona, who just, you know, listen, you know, took it to the Dallas Stars yesterday somehow. Is this a week where Winnipeg gets some answers on their team?
You know, you could call that Winnipeg Dallas the Enigmatic Bowl, and you could
the Enigma Bowl.
Have the Enigma Bowl, and you can have it sponsored by Wordle or something like that.
Does have that feel to it? Because I have no idea what to expect out of either team.
The late great coach John Madden. What was his line about must-win games? I hate that label because if you lose it, what do you do about the next one?
Yeah.
So, which I think is smart thinking. But look, Nashville has allowed other teams to creep back into this.
Four losses, you know, in a row. Four losses in a row for the Preds.
You're not catching Colorado. You're not catching St. Louis. You're not catching Minnesota. Okay. And in the Central, the path is harder because of how all those teams are. Nashville has kind of walked back a bit to the pile. They've opened the door a little bit, but you got to knock it down. And, you know, Winnipeg and Dallas aren't exactly showing they're going to knock it down. Like, you know, I think Los Angeles sure has. You know, Edmonton, despite what happened last night, they look like they're there. Anaheim, huge win on Saturday. I really didn't like that one for Vancouver for a lot of different reasons. That one on Saturday against the Ducks. But, you know, like to me, Winnipeg and Dallas, you got to knock that door down. And Dallas is closer than the Jets are to me. They've got a couple of W's there that I think are really signature wins, but some really weird losses like last night. Winnipeg's got more, like Winnipeg might have more weird losses this year than any team I watch. And I'm not like, someone's just saying to me, you know, one of my friends, like, you're just mad at them because you said you were the best Canadian team. And I said, no, I've made lots of stupid predictions over the years, like a lot of dumb predictions over the years. So that doesn't really bother me. I just like, I go through Winnipeg's schedule and I look at it and like, how did they lose that one? Or what's the reason that they played like this and that one, and this one? It's been really, really strange. And you know, like, and then the rumors started coming, oh, was this going to be it for Scheifele? They're going to trade him. And you know him, like he's clearly following it. And he lights up right after that. They got some hard choices to make after this year.
You mentioned you didn't like the Anaheim game. 7-4, the Vancouver Canucks lose to the Anaheim Ducks. Why was that one so profound for you?
Look, Jeff, you can lose, and you can lose ugly. You know, Anaheim's game before that, they are up 2-0 on Edmonton, and they lost ugly. It happens. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way they lost. You know, Kevin and I were talking about this. He's certainly old school, and I am a little bit old school. Like, Anaheim, it's amazing. In a league where so much has changed, you know, Anaheim still has that we like to kind of bully teams a bit. When we're at our best, we bully teams a bit to them, right? Mm-hmm. And they bullied the Canucks on Saturday night. And, you know, I just think, like, I always think the license as a person is if someone is going to push you around, you've got to push back, right? You just have to. And that was such a big game for both those teams. I was really excited for it. I thought it would be a great game. And I just thought Anaheim really pushed Vancouver around. And I know it was a really tough night. And sometimes you say, okay, we'll get them next time. But I was a little surprised. I thought Vancouver took it a bit too much. And now the next time I see the Canucks, one of them is going to punch me in the face.
Vancouver faces off against Seattle tonight, by the way, at 10 o'clock Eastern. We have four Canadian teams going this evening. Maple Leafs and Habs, the Seattle Kraken face off against the Vancouver Canucks. Watch both on Sportsnet, Ontario and Pacific. Winnipeg Jets face off against the Calgary Flames at 4 ET, 1 Pacific there. All right, back to whatever you're doing today. What are you doing today on this family day?
You know what? I do a podcast on Monday with Andrew Peters and Craig Revey. I did that. I've been working on another story on the 32 thoughts. So basically ignoring my family on family day. What about you?
I've been basically doing the same. The boys are out with their buddies. I played with my daughter a little bit this morning, but I've been either on the phone in my office or now on the air with you. So that's been
my, I've only gotten one stink eye today, which I deserve.
I've had two, and it's going to get even worse when I'm done here and I say, hey, are you cool if I go work out? We're going to see how that goes over here at 2 o'clock Eastern on this family day, but I'll try.